Welcome back to another episode of 5 a.m. Theology. So, Chris, this week we finished up the Book of Judges and the Book of Ruth. Both of these books happened during the same time in history. In fact, the Book of Ruth is often cited as a bright spot or glimmer of hope in an otherwise really dark period in Israel's history. And that's certainly true. But when you read the opening of the Book of Ruth, it definitely doesn't start out that way. In fact, the Book of Ruth starts out just like the Book of Judges ends, with everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
It really does. The Book of Judges is all about the Israelites, God's people, doing what they thought was right, and they totally disregarded the promises and the commands of God and instead compromised their beliefs. They pervert the word of God, they make themselves cozy and comfy with the pagans around them, and the Book of Ruth starts out the same way. Ruth 1:1 says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in a country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons."
So here's an Israelite, Elimelech, and his family doing what's right in their own eyes. They're totally ignoring what God had said. The Israelites were supposed to stay in the promised land. That was the land God gave them. And we see the beginnings of the problems when in the beginning of the book of Judges, they fail to kill or drive out all the pagans from the land. So instead of being a people separate unto God, they've been mixing in with the pagans and they've been adopting some of their grossly sinful practices, and they've even been intermarrying with them. Elimelech and his family are from Bethlehem, and things are hard in Bethlehem. There's a famine. But instead of staying where things are hard, where they're supposed to be, trusting in God, standing on the promises and word of God, they bail. They aren't willing to stay faithful to God if it means they have to be uncomfortable and face hardship.
And we don't know if Elimelech and his family worshiped any false gods. It doesn't seem like they did when they were there, but they definitely worshiped the idol of comfort and the idol of security. And in that way, they really are no different than many, many Christians today. A while back, in one of our No Trash, Just Truth episodes, we cited a survey that had been done of pastors. Over 80% of those pastors said that they believe that most of their congregation's biggest idols is comfort and security. And all you have to do is look around to see Christians and churches caving in their trust of God and compromising the word of God to know that that is true. That poll was right.
Yeah.
Rather than face criticism, ostracizing, or maybe even persecution, these Christians are leaving the promised land of God's word for a friendlier climate in pagan nations.
Yep. At best, the Bible refers to these Christians as lukewarm. Now, Chris, you and I have labeled them castrated Christians.
Yep.
But whatever you want to call them, they're giving in to the pagan nations. They're giving in to the world around them. In the world, the vast majority of people don't have a problem with Christianity so long as it's just a nice philanthropic religion, one religion amongst many. It's great to see Christians doing good things, and it's even okay to say you're a Christian. As you know, Chris, the problems start when you start proclaiming that name as the only way to God. And
Absolutely.
We all know that name, Jesus. We're always hearing people like Taylor Swift, Stephen Colbert, Tom Hanks, and Nancy Pelosi. Believe it or not, they all say they're Christian. But hello, besides them all being ravenous in their lust for abortion and their disdain for any conservatives at all, have you ever heard any of them proclaim the name of Jesus as the only Lord and Savior?
No. And even some who say Jesus is their Lord and Savior, like Rick Warren or Joel Osteen or Francis Chan, or even that series, The Chosen, stop short of saying that Jesus is the only Lord and Savior. They'll either imply that Jesus is a way to God, or they'll water down and compromise Jesus so much that he barely resembles Jesus from Scripture. Even a series about Jesus, The Chosen, has so diluted and perverted the gospel accounts of Jesus that he is barely recognizable. Instead, he's the "can't we all just get along" Jesus that has his arms open to everybody and is accepting of everybody just like they are with no need to change. I mean, you can come to Jesus as you are, but you're going to have to change.
Absolutely.
It's just like he gets us.
Well, right.
Yeah, he gets us all right.
Yeah. The He Gets Us campaign would be okay if it was legitimately that he gets us, that
yeah,
we're sinful
exactly.
And we desperately need saving and sanctification.
Absolutely.
But Chris, you can't dare rightly invoke the name of Jesus. And you definitely cannot say apart from him, there is no hope. That Jesus is a threat, and that Jesus is hated by the masses. They want Jesus to be just like Buddha or Confucius, a moral philosopher whose teachings you can take or leave with no consequences. And sadly, that's what so many Christians have turned Jesus into. Like Elimelech, they may say they worship God, but what they really worship is their comfort, their peace, and approval from man. At the first sign of famine in the land God has put us, they bail and seek out a friendlier climate, even if it means living amongst and agreeing with the pagans.
Elimelech and his family couldn't stand the heat when it got turned up. When things became really hard, they did what was right in their own eyes, and they acted for their own physical self-preservation. They decided it was better for them to leave the place that God had put them, staying amongst God's people, and go off to a land where things were easier, even if it meant being with the pagans.
Yeah, and compare them to Ruth, who started out as a pagan but ends up being a follower of God. She declines to return to her homeland of Moab. In fact, she insists on staying with Naomi and going back to the promised land. And Naomi tells her that her prospects there are going to be bleak. She's going to live in poverty, and there's a good chance she'll never remarry and have a family. If she went back to her own land, she'd have the support of her family, and she probably would have found a husband.
While Elimelech chooses to be comfortable and leave the fellowship of God's people rather than face hardship, even if it means living amongst the pagans, Ruth is a direct contrast. Ruth chooses following Yahweh and leaving her pagan family in town, even though she has gone off to face hardship. She's walking right into it. And this should cause us to reflect on ourselves and what decisions we're going to make. Will we stand firm under the authority of God's word, refusing to compromise no matter what the consequences are? Or will we compromise and fudge God's word to make our lives easier and better fit in with everybody around us? After all, everybody else is doing it. And Rose, I just got to say, this is exactly what Jesus warns the churches that are being this way about in Revelation.
Absolutely. And Chris, you said everyone else is doing it. I know you were saying that tongue in cheek, but If everyone else is doing it, there's an indication that it's probably not the right thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
But it's definitely a decision we're all going to have to make, because if we think the heat's turned up now, I don't think we've seen anything yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And that's where we're going to end today. Have a blessed morning, everyone.